where I'm going to start. You know, I was driving down the road the other day, and I just began to reflect of how good God is to me in ways that I often am not aware of. And I had my hand, maybe hands, probably hand, on the steering wheel of my old truck. And I just began to thank God. God, I thank you for this old truck. It's been a good old truck. It has a smooth ride. The air blows cold. Somebody say praise God. The radio plays some smooth tunes, and it's paid for. For 13 years, cold mornings, my truck has started. For 13 years, it's taken me to places in times of emergency with urgency. So I was driving down the road, something that I have had, and I can't say there's been many mornings or days I have thanked God for my truck. But that day, I just began to thank God. Thank you, Lord, for this truck. Amen. You know, I plan on keeping it. And so I got the oil changed the other day. In fact, before I left, Brother Marco, I went and washed my truck. I got some, picking at you, buddy. I went to the auto parts store, and I bought a few clean rags, and I even shined up and dusted off that thing up there above the steering wheel. Yeah, the dashboard. I even got the dust around, because, you know, I love my old truck, and I want to take care of something that's been taking care of me. Those of you that are married, be well to do that. Come on, somebody. So I did Google search and looked for some songs about pickup trucks. But then it's like I heard a still small voice. I think they'd rather hear you preach than hear you sing. So y'all have heard me sing before, I see. So I'm gonna try to preach to you today. Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 13. If you'd like to stand with me in honor of the Word of God, as is our custom. Romans 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be, what's it say? Saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. John chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This morning, I want to preach to you a man sent from God. Say that with me. A man sent from God. Can we pray? Father, we love you today. Thank you for your presence that has been so real and tangible in this place. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help me to bless the people of God, minister to each and every individual here today. I pray something I would say would resonate in their hearts. And that they would be reminded yet once again that you know where they are, you know the questions they have, and that you are still able to speak to the hearts of men. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, Amen. You can be seated. In the early part of the 19th, 20th century, 1920, 21, there was a preacher whose name I found to be Samuel McLean. I'm not sure exactly the road he took. I don't even know exactly who went with him. But he went to a little bitty town. In fact, I wouldn't even call it a town, just a little bump in the road in East Texas. And built a brush arbor, and there in that little community, he began to preach the message that has been preached since Acts chapter 2. And there was a little young mother there who heard the message, though no doubt she was a believer in Jesus, she has of yet had not experienced the gift of the Holy Ghost, like Acts 19. And I understand it that she received the message and she was baptized in Jesus' name and she received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And she lived a life of prayer, faithfulness, and dedication. That is my great-grandmother. Her name was Ora Dale King. The town was Woden. And today a church sits on the place where her old home place was almost 100 years from the day a man sent from God went and preached the gospel. And I am a product of a man sent from God. Can we just thank God somebody preached to us the gospel? This Brother McLean, I read this morning that there was another preacher, a man sent from God that was having services in the high school where he was attending. And he went and he said, "These people have something I don't have." And I read that he said, when he received the Holy Ghost, he said, "It seemed that a barrel full of glory was charged with electricity and poured over and through me, and suddenly it moved up and took a hold of my mouth and tongue in such words I had never spoken in all my life. I just listened as the Holy Ghost talked through me." So before the man sent from God preached to my great-grandmother, he heard another man sent from God who preached to him. Amen. Years go by. My mother was a backslidden Pentecostal girl dating a young man she probably shouldn't have been dating, like a lot of backslidden Pentecostal people do sometimes. But my great-grandmother began to witness to my daddy. And my daddy went to a camp meeting service down in Lufkin, Texas. And he felt something he had never felt before. And I remember him telling me, he said, there was an old man just standing just right there in front of me. And when the Spirit of the Lord got to moving, that man began to worship in a way I'd never seen before. And I felt something I'd never seen before. And he knew that there was a God that was real. And it wasn't just a has-been God, but he's a right now, today God. And I stand here today because there are still men and women sent from God to tell somebody the Holy Ghost, just like it happened in Acts 2, is still being poured out on all flesh today. I am thankful today that God is a God that still is sending men and women to preach the gospel. the promise of the Father, the power of the Holy Ghost, even in these days of 2020. I myself received the baptism of the Holy Ghost not far from here in Arlington, Texas, 44 years ago. If the building still stood, I could take you to where it was. I remember going down to the front. I can remember raising my little hands and lifting my little eyes as little tears went down my cheeks. And I began to speak in a language my mama didn't teach me. I began to speak in a language my daddy didn't teach me. But as the Spirit of God gave me utterance, I can still hear the words that I said that day when God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And my great-grandmother could say, the promise is unto me and to my children and to my children's children. And I have lived long enough that my three sons, I have seen them filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they have spoken tongues when the Holy Ghost came, just like I did, just like their grandpa did, just like their grandmother did, just like their great-grandmother did. And I would say to you, it's because God loves you and me. And he loved us enough to send a man to preach the gospel to every creature. As a kid, I remember a song. I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible says. I got the Holy, come on, sing with me. Down in my soul, just like the Bible said. I've been to the water and I've been baptized. My soul got happy and I'm so satisfied. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now, just like the Bible, just like the Bible, just like the Bible says. Well, glory. And 44 years ago, I can say I still got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible. Go ahead, clap your hands. I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, just like the Bible says. Well, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. My soul got happy and I'm still satisfied. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now, just like the Bible, just like the Bible, just like the Bible said. Woo! Yeah. I still got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Maybe that wasn't the Lord that said y'all didn't want to hear me sing today. A man sent from God. I remember I was just a young man, probably 16 or 17. My mom and dad were faithful to the house of God, and they took me every time the doors were open. Because of that, I developed a love for God and the house of God, the man of God, and the word of God. And I don't really know exactly the setting, but I remember, I think it might have been in the service. But while I was praying deep in the Holy Ghost, I had a vision. And what the Lord showed me was awful, terrible, terrifying. And I got up from that place of prayer with this determination. I do not want to be a preacher. I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. Because I felt like the Lord showed me challenges and difficulties I would face in the ministry. And I decided, literally at that moment, Lord, I just want to be a rich tithe payer. I'm telling this what I told the Lord. I don't want to be a preacher. Long story short, I lost. God won. Yeah. And but I said that to say that ministry, like all of the things the Lord may put on us, none of us live a life free of care. Every one of you have a calling. You may not be called to stand here and hold this mic, but all of you have a ministry that is your responsibility to fill. I sat over there and I wept a little and rejoiced because I saw and I felt such beautiful music coming from this place today. And I tell you what, y'all have some really talented singers here. Incredibly talented singers. Tremendous. And I heard the organ and the piano player and that drum player, man, he was making it talk. And I was just like, wow, it's just so good. And I look back, and this guy back here, man, in this camera, yeah, you're looking at me right there. He's behind the camera. And behind the camera, I watched him worship the Lord. I watched him just, he was lost. I don't know how good a job a cameraman he is, because I don't know how you pay a man a camera worshiping God like that. But there he was, worshiping God and man in the camera. Yeah. Yeah. I look back here at this. I bet that could be a quartet. I bet every one of them could sing. Maybe not God, but you might not enjoy it, but I believe God enjoy a quartet out of those four right back there. I'm not sure who would. But you know, it takes so much to make the kingdom's not a one-man band. And nobody's going to get anything done if they got to do it by themselves. Amen. And this church no doubt exists because 43 years ago, Brother McGahey came with his wife and family and planted a church here in Hearst, Texas. There was a man sent from God, and his name was Brother McGahey. Amen. Her name was Sister McGahey. But I want you to know, they didn't do what they did by themselves. No doubt they had God and there were angels with them, but there were men and women that put their hearts and their lives to say, you know what? I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul, and I want somebody else to get the Holy Ghost down in their soul. And together, for 43 years, men and women have joined their faith together with the man God sent to this city to say, by the help and grace of God, we're going to preach the gospel to every creature. Young and old, rich and poor, black and white and yellow and every other color under the rainbow. God. Amen. You can be seated. It's getting good to me. Amen. You know, ministry, I said all that to kind of let you know, I understand preachers are not the only ones that have difficult times. All of us have our challenges. All of us have our disappointments. But just for a minute, I want you to understand that I'm sure you understand. But ministry is not an easy path. But yet it's glorious. It's the best of times and the worst of times, often at the same time. You know, I learned a long time ago that my ministry, let me say this, I'll be honest, I know some of you may just be by nature a humanitarian, and you just love people, and you want to help them. I'll be honest, that's not me. Naturally, it's not me. Your foot hurts, I'm sorry. I got somewhere to go. I know, it's... I'm just being transparent here with you today. You say, well, that might not be good. Well, that's all right. But, you know, something happened to me at some point, and I fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with him that loved me. The one that has spoke to me when I couldn't even think for myself. The one that has helped delivered me when I couldn't deliver myself. The one that's provided for me when I couldn't provide for myself. And I fell in love with Jesus. And I learned the way I show my love to God is by loving the people who God loves. It's easy for me to say, I love you, Jesus. But the only way that you really are able to show Jesus that you love him is you love the people Jesus loves. And we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the only way they will hear is somebody's got to stand up and speak out and say, the Holy Ghost, deliverance, healing, hope, restoration is for you. How do I know? Because he did it for me. He did it for my daddy. He did it for my grandmother. He did it for my great-grandmother. And you may not have experienced it. You may not have the heritage, but the same power that rests in me is available to everybody. There was a man sent from God. Somebody say praise God. Amen. You know, one of the hardest things about ministry is often I experience the dark side of individuals. I'll just put a period there. Started to give a comma, but that period's there. Sometimes I experience the dark side of individuals. Oh, yeah, you have a dark side. Oh, yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I know that for many years, and maybe sometimes a few times not long ago, I have taken it personal when someone won't answer my call. I've taken it personal when people don't respond to my text messages. I've taken it personal when I go to their house and they don't answer the door and you can hear the radio in the background. I'll be honest, I've taken it personal. But at some point, the Lord, in my pursuit of trying to gather lost sheep and ministering to hurt people, the Lord had to tell me, hey, buddy, it has nothing to do with you. They're running from me too. And your voice sounds like my voice. And they ain't listening to me, and they're not going to listen to you either. But that didn't make it any easier. You know, Judas had the very best pastor. Judas had the best teacher. Judas had the best leader he could ever have. Just think about that for a minute. But even with the very best, and those poor people I pastored, they don't have the very best. Neither do you. He ain't Jesus. Sometimes people romanticize pastors they had in the past, but they never treated the pastors in the past the way they say they appreciate them now. I've had people tell me how sacrificial they used to be at another church and how they serve so well in another church. I've learned to measure that like the stuff that you put in the flower bed. I found people are pretty consistent. Faithful people are faithful people. It doesn't matter where they are. Because when you're saint, you don't get to, you know, you don't get to go from a full-time saint to a part-time saint. You're either going to be a saint or an ain't. You say, well, preacher, I'm not doing like I used to. I used to do better. Well, do better, bless God. Come on, somebody. You tell me that you used to do a lot wherever you used to be. Well, you need to step up and be who you used to be and maybe be better than you used to be. Everybody wants to say what the pastor ought to be doing. Well, my God, what's the person in the mirror going to do? I wish the pastor would. And hey, y'all are great people. I know y'all never complain. I do. People I pastor are better than me. I love them. You know, love is a beautifying thing. Love is a beautifying thing. You know, when you love somebody. I have seen mothers and fathers be in absolute awe of children that have absolutely no talent. I'm sorry if I'm talking about you, but I'll give you an example. My mother thinks I'm the greatest preacher in the world. Think about that for a minute. That is love. Yeah. She thinks I'm handsome too. We know that's blind love. That's true. But you know what that said, what I'm saying to you is everyone that you have a tendency to be critical of, what I would say to you is they do not need to be better than they are. You just need to work on your love. Love really does make a difference. It's more than an advertising line. And it's great advertisement. Hey, I mean, of all talents, the man over here is talented. He is awesome. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Amen. But at the end of the day, we have to recognize that in whatever part of the kingdom we're in, the only way we're going to survive crunch time is you're going to have to fall in love with Jesus. You're going to have to fall in love with Jesus. And when you fall in love with Jesus, you know what's going to make you love everybody. Come on, somebody. It's going to make you encourage everybody. It's going to help you see the best in everybody. Because love covers. Amen. Amen. I probably preached too long. I'm sorry. Not really. Hey, I drove 6 hours to be here. You can sit there for 35 minutes. Amen. How beautiful are the feet. Ah, I've got to the final end. How beautiful are the feet. I thank God that He put ministry in my life. And I know people whose responsibility has been to help me not embarrass them. They've walked through a lot of mud to get to me. They've dealt with a lot of dust to help me. There have been times when I've been angry, I've been disappointed, I've been wounded. Yes, I've been wounded in the church. I've been disappointed in people. It happens. Legitimately, things are not perfect wherever you have more than one person. In fact, a congregation of one is eat up with trouble. There's less trouble in a congregation with two. Because if two walk together, the other will encourage you. And when you're in a congregation of the church, the Bible says, ye that are spiritual, uphold them that are weak. The best place to be when you're going through difficulty is not staying at home and sucking your thumb. Bring yourself to the house of God and let the people of God encourage you and pray for you and help you get over whatever it is you're struggling with. Amen. Brother Shindall, would you step up here? I don't want to have to get on my knees because I got bad knees. It's all right to bow, but here. You really should do something to that. You hadn't polished those in a while, have you? Or are they just made that way? Vintage. Yeah. Do you need some new shoes? Okay. I got some money. I was just talking. Every one of us, in simple ways, have an opportunity to encourage the man of God that God has placed in our lives. It could be giving him words of encouragement. Or it could be, potentially, not giving him words that are not encouraging. Here's my challenge. The Bible says that, thank you, Brother Shindall. You look very nice today. Sister Shindall, why don't you come up here? No, come on. You don't get to say no, come on. Wait, stand up there. Oh, come on. I think I'm about to have fun. Go ahead, stand up there. Turn this way. You know, this stuff that people will say to a pastor's wife, they would never say to the pastor. Somebody say, shiner shoes. Say that, look at the person next to you, shiner shoes. That might be saying something nice, or it might be not saying something that's not nice. Anything else you want me to say? I forgot my, list. Woo! There was a man sent from God. I want to encourage all of you today. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, the scripture says, God is not unrighteous. Can you say that with me? God is not unrighteous. Can we say it again? God is not unrighteous. Say it again. God is not unrighteous. What is unrighteous? To forget your work and labor of love. There's a payday coming someday. I think God is a perfect accountant. And God knows every time someone has put a penny in the offering. God sees every time You've showed up to church. God sees every time you bend the knee. Come on, somebody. He is not unrighteous to forget. And what I want to say to every one of you today is be sure to remember. If it's unrighteous to forget, it is righteous to remember. And what I would say to you is remember all the effort for the souls and teachers and preachers and saints who have contributed to the fact you're sitting in the church today. Whoever taught you a Bible study, whoever laid hands on you when you got the Holy Ghost, whoever called you when you were discouraged. I want you to know today, no doubt, today we are celebrating the Shindalls, but I want you to know today that every one of you have a reason to remember all the righteous work that has been invested into your life. For me, I had a great grandmother. I had a mother and a father. And I've had pastors and teachers and mentors and friends that have prayed for me, hours in which I cannot count, and shed tears in which I cannot contain. And I'm here today because someone put forth a righteous labor of love in my life. And I'd like Brother and Sister Shindall to come up here, and I want everybody in this building to stand up. And can we just thank God today that the Lord has sent to Hearst, Texas, Brother and Sister Shindall and their family, and we will be righteous, and we will remember the labor of love that they, through God's grace, have put into our lives, and we rejoice in the fact we know that better days, greater things are ahead. Can we love the Lord together and worship God? Amen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can we stretch our hands toward, come on up here, Anna. Can we stretch our hands toward the Shindalls? Amen. And everyone, I can't say everyone that helps the church happen, because that's all of you. Amen. Brother Will and your wife. Brother Ben, come on over here. I know you got some great music lined up. Everybody that's a part of the ministry team, I want you to come up here. And I want you to stand behind the Shindalls. Amen. I know y'all are helping shine their shoes. I know you're encouraging them. Amen. And I thank God. I thank God for what God has done here today. 10 years. 10 years. That I know there's been hard days. There's been discouraging days. There's been trying days. Sister McGahey, do you mind coming up here? Amen. Amen. It's so good to see her moving. Last time I was here, she wasn't moving so well. Amen. You don't have to come all the way up. You just, whatever is comfortable. Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Sister McKay. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we just stretch our hands and ask the Lord to anoint Way of Life like it's never been anointed before? Lord Jesus, I pray. I know there are many people out here in the congregation. The only reason why the church is here today, where it's at today, because you've been playing a part. And God, these right here today, God, I pray for strength. I pray for wisdom. And God, I thank you today for godly leadership that has not compromised the doctrine, has not laid down modesty and holiness, but they stand and they continue to preach the old-time gospel message that is in the Holy Word of God. I ask you today to bless them and anoint them and use them in greater ways. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Help us wrap this thing up, Brother Ben. Amen. Y'all could be seated. Y'all stay standing. They just tell them they can go down. Amen. I know that I preach longer than y'all are used to. You're welcome. Hallelujah. I celebrate Way of Life today. How many first-time guests do we have here today? If you don't embarrass you, to raise your hands. How many guests do we have? Thank you, brother. I just want you to know today that God, just as he sent Brother Shindall, come here, Brother Shindall, to Hurst, God is sending you to where you live. In the same way God uses a pastor in the pulpit, he uses the saints of God in the marketplace, on your job, while you're out and about. And you can be the difference in some lost soul's life. How many of you want to do that? Can we raise our hands and ask the Lord in the name of Jesus?
Oh, praise the Lord. Let's just reach out to the Lord right now. If you need something in this house, it's available right now. The truth has been preached today. You've heard a testimony of what the Holy Ghost can do. If you've never had the privilege of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, I'll tell you, it's the greatest gift of all. It is the power and the promise of God. And all you have to do today to receive it is repent of your sins. Lift up your voice and open it and let the Lord fill you with his power. And you can begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And you can go down in the waters of baptism today. That's what it's all about. A man sent from God. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God for our bishop that was sent here some 43 years ago so that we could experience what we are experiencing today, the joy of today. Hallelujah. It's about the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, that's it. Let's reach out to the Lord if you need healing. If you want the Holy Ghost today, you just come. Just come. If you need something, just come. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.